You're listening to an old episode of Metal Gear Mondays. To keep up with all of the new episodes, please check out patreon.com/Metal Gear Mondays.
This week on Metal Gear Mondays, Snake's revenge gets its revenge on all of us. Ladies, gentlemen, boys, and girls, welcome to Metal Gear Mondays. On this week's episode, we are going to be tackling Snake's Revenge. And if you're new to the series and new to the show, because we just started it back up after a nice break, we are essentially a show that covers Metal Gear Solid and Metal Gear games from top to bottom in chronological order. As always, I'm your host, Alessio Summerfield, and this week I am joined by Samuel Wright.
Hi. I regret to inform that I dropped a 20-ounce bottle of pitch black on the ground, and after cleaning up, my hallway looks like a murder scene, so...
And our guest, our very special guest for the episode, Nicholas Freda.
You can call me Nick, and I'm here to say...
I was about to ask, actually.
If you're going to play Snake's Revenge, you better dig yourself two graves.
Oh, no!
Whoa!
Who's the other grave for?
One for the game, this awful game, and one for yourself after playing this game. I'll be taking on the role of Cameron Hill during this episode to deal out the hate... on Snake's Revenge.
That's wonderful.
Oh my god.
I just imagined this episode as like the trailer for this episode, and it's just like starring Sam Wright, Alessio Summerfield, and Nick Freda as Cameron Hill.
It's kind of like how like in all those sitcom commercials it's like this actor, this actor, this actor, this actor as this character.
Yeah.
Like why?
And what introducing as Pip, himself. The dog.
Yeah,
in his directorial debut. All right. So yeah, let me intro the game a little bit, and then we can talk about just general things about how we enjoyed the game, right, everybody?
Oh,
enjoyed
yeah.
The game?
Woo!
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But sure. Yeah. So Snake's Revenge is a spinoff. I believe, let me think. So Portable Ops is like... quasi-canon. I think other than Acid 1 and 2, this might be, like, the first spin-off that we've done for, like, a home console. So this is a spin-off. It was only released in the US and the EU, and it was released in 1990, just a few months before the sublime Metal Gear 2 Solid Snake that we covered last episode. And it was released on the NES, and it was published by Ultra, which is, like, Konami's... what would you call it? Konami's like hardcore like, US action game subsect. Right?
Well, they could only, like, there was like Nintendo had these really funky rules where you could only release 5 games as a company. They didn't in the US,
right.
They would only license. So, like, Konami made all these like shell companies. So, like, Ultra was one of those so that they could.
The umbrella
actually,
company.
Big, yeah, pretty much.
Big shell companies.
So they could release more games and kind of sidestep that rule.
Yeah, I always forget about that. It's so weird.
Nintendo.
Quaint late 80s, early 90s Nintendo. The game was designed by A. Nozaki and Takeshi Fujimoto, and it was programmed by Hitoshi Akamatsu, Koki Yamashita, Mr. or Mrs. Okuda, I don't know, and S. Fukuoka. And it was composed, the music was composed by Tsutomu Ogura? Sam, I feel it. I feel your eyes on me, even though you're not even in
well,
the same
it's,
state.
I'm not even like mad or upset. I really just missed you fumbling over Japanese people's names.
So yeah, So this game had zero involvement from Hideo Kojima, obviously. So kind of like what we're seeing now, Konami owns the brand Metal Gear, so they can kind of do whatever they want with it. And this was kind of like. The baby toe in the like kid side of the pool that Konami was like, well, maybe we can keep going without Kojima. And then they wouldn't have to do that for a very long time, and Metal Gear Survive might turn out to be another Snake's Revenge. Who knows? But the sequel to the NES version of Metal Gear was produced exclusively for Western market. According to Kojima, and we've discussed this on the show before, so if you're an avid listener of the show, you probably already know this. But according to Kojima, he had a conversation with one of the developers of Snake's Revenge on the train, and this developer asked Kojima to create a true sequel to Metal Gear. And Kojima, as legend has it, began drafting the idea for Metal Gear 2 on the train that night. And it was later released a few months after Snake's Revenge, and it was only in Japan, which I feel like was kind of like a slight against the Western audience. But Snake's Revenge is a more action-packed version of Metal Gear 1 for the NES. This is me kind of sticking my personal bias in a little bit, but it feels like a fan ROM hack and less like a game.
Yeah, for sure.
Snake starts with a gun and a knife in his inventory from the get-go, which immediately kind of signals, like, you're not going to be hiding, ever. And there are these weird side-scrolling, like, Russian attack, Metroid slash Mega Man
stages. Yeah, I was
going to
say,
stages.
I was like, I feel like I'm just suddenly playing Metroid. This isn't what I want.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of, like, Master Blaster. Did you guys ever play that game? Or is it Blaster Master?
Blaster Master.
Yeah.
I love that game.
It's
but
they're,
this is the
they're,
bad
and
version
they're,
of that.
Yeah, they're, it's also the fan ROM hack version of Metroid or Blaster Master. It's bad.
That's a marketing point for it. Two ROM hacks in one.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's one of those jumbo multi-game packs.
TV plug and play, Metal Gear and Metroid ROM hack.
It may as well be. So I'm going to straight lift a quote from Wikipedia because I think Wikipedia says it best. When interviewed by Stephen Kent in 1999, Kojima stated that he enjoyed Snake's Revenge and that he thought it was, quote, faithful to the Metal Gear concept. While Kojima once jokingly stated that Snake's Revenge was, quote, somewhat of a crappy game during the 2009's Game Developers Conference, he later stated in an interview with Nintendo Power that he doesn't consider it to be a bad game. So it seems like Kojima has, like, very radically different opinions depending on what time period you talk to him about this game in.
Yeah, I think he's just being nice, like, after the fact to the other, developers.
I think he probably thinks it's shit.
I would. If somebody asked me my opinion.
Absolutely.
Which is what this whole show is, I guess.
It's the entirety of this podcast is people asking us our opinion about Metal Gear. This game is shit.
Yeah,
it's really bad. Like, and it's so poorly designed.
It's fucking just, awful, you guys.
It's really, really bad. So,
like, 10 out of 10 fucking awful rating. Like, Rotten Tomatoes.
All right, episode over.
Yeah, we're done here. I'm going to include in the show notes a long play, like an NES video walkthrough that somebody did on YouTube. I'm going to go ahead and put this out there. It's only 2 hours. It's two of the most boring fucking hours of watching a video game played I've ever experienced in my life. Like, so we'll talk about how we played them, but I got to a certain point in the game and got stuck and got frustrated and was like, fuck it, I'm going to watch the rest of the game. I barely got through watching, like, the last half of the game.
And I'm guessing that the long play doesn't even really showcase the frustration. It's probably somebody who, like, knows exactly where to go and how to dodge all of the problems that you guys no doubt also ran into. Just things that there's just tricks and traps that you have no warning about, and there's insta-deaths all over the place, and it's just bad. If you're not doing save state scumming, I can't imagine playing this game on the NES. Like, it just would be unbearable.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah, that long play makes it look like the easiest thing in the world to do, but it's not. It's fucking awful.
Yeah. So before, and I'm going to go ahead and say this. I'm going to own this one, you guys. So last episode, I made the comment that, like, oh, you don't even necessarily have to, we're not even going to finish the game. We're just going to talk about it. I don't care. And I feel like I've said that partially out of knowing the prior to playing for the show, I had played probably about a half hour of this game, like, many years ago. Having had that experience and knowing the reputation of the game, I was kind of trying to give us, like, a back door if we didn't want to deal with the game. I I almost edited that part out of last episode because I was trying to be like Papa Alessio and just like do right by the fans of the show and like actually get through the game. It's fucking awful, you guys. Like,
no, it's
oh,
really
and guess
bad.
What? I didn't what? Get to hear that part about you telling us that we didn't need to finish. And so when I was preparing for this for the show, I played through the whole game. I beat this awful, awful game.
Nick deserves the fucking MVP award of Metal Gear Mondays.
And then Isaac, who, if
Isaac
you will
did
notice,
the
conspicuous
of Nick.
By his absence, forgot, didn't realize that he needed to be on this episode. And so still has no experience with this game. And
I would have loved to hear his take on this game. So...
He probably would have, like, honestly, because this is how I wound up, like, getting frustrated with it. He probably would have played, like, the first 10 minutes of it and just been like, no, because of dying so much. And that's not a slight on Isaac so much as it's a slight on how bad the game is.
Well, and the beginning of the game, which we should, I'm guessing we're probably going to get into pretty
quick
here.
Yeah, we're going to get
here,
into it.
Is it gets progressively worse. So it's not worst thing in the world at the very beginning of the game. But it starts to
like,
sneak these hints. It slides these little hints to you that, oh, I'm going to suck so bad in just like 10 minutes down the road. Like, this looks like you can handle it, but just wait. We've got some treats in store for you.
You hate this now, but trust me, it's going to get way worse.
Yeah.
You don't know what hate is.
Yeah. It's, man.
You're going to want revenge. On the people who made this game.
We're gonna get to it, obviously, but like I feel like the final massive air quote, the final boss of the game is the biggest bitch slap to anybody who like grueled through the whole game. Like, it's awful. Like it's just like, oh, you want big, cool, badass action? Nah. And yeah, so I don't know. We'll get to it here in a second, as we've discussed. And again, I think the game kind of starts off on. It's almost like the game starts off in the middle of Shit Town and like could be good, and then it just like keeps and it's facing could be good, but keeps like taking a step back into Shit Town. Progressively,
this game is the mayor. This game is the mayor of Shit Town.
This game drove into Shit Town, shot the mayor in cold blood, and then just said, "Like this is my town now."
Oh man. Yeah. Look at me. I'm the captain now.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus. Okay. Sorry. I keep pausing to reflect and I realize how awful this is. Okay. So before we get into it, I do want to talk to you guys about sort of your relationship with this game, sort of like where you're coming from. If you've had prior experience, if you've heard of it, what you had heard of it before you played it, and that kind of stuff. So, Sam, if you want to get us started, what did you know about this game?
So I had never, much like Metal Gear 2, I had never played this game before, but I knew that it was a game that was created for America to capitalize on the popularity of the first one, that Hideo Kojima had nothing to do with it, and that it was historically really bad. But I could not even imagine what I experienced.
Nick, what about you?
So I had read about it and I knew that it was, you know, not an actual entry in the series and that Kojima wasn't involved, but I had never played it until just this past week. So I had it was the missing part in my Metal Gear game series because I feel like I've played every single other one. Except maybe there's like a Metal Gear pinball machine floating around somewhere, like in Japan that I haven't played.
Get on it, indie game devs.
No Plinko.
Those Metal Gear Solid 3 pachinko machines.
Pachinko, yeah. So,
I walked into a room at MAGFest that was wall-to-wall patchy slot machines, and the whole fucking time I was like, please God, let there be the Metal Gear one in here, and there was not. I was very upset.
That is a bummer. I just have to go to Japan, I guess. So, but it was, yeah, so that's really, this is my first time experiencing this game.
All right.
And last.
Yeah. Sorry, E.T., you can come out of your little shitbox hide hole. We're going to bury Snake's Revenge where you once laid.
Yeah.
Shitbox hide hole.
I think I'd much rather play E.T. than this game. Anyway, that may be too. That may be too far. Sorry, guys. I apologize. Anyway, so let's talk about how this game opens. So it opens on this like pre-start screen that's showing the Metal Gear schematics. And there's some okay music. And by okay, I literally mean like everyone who's listening right now, unless you're driving, just close your eyes and imagine an NES game soundtrack. That generic goddamn NES game soundtrack that you're imagining right now probably sounds like what Snake's Revenge sounds like. Like just
it
kind of
to me, it kind of sounds like 8-bit Phoenix Wright music.
Yeah, a little bit. I could take that. Did you guys like the music? Because I feel like the music might be the best.
It's the game. It's the best part of the game. There's a variation on sort of that like original like Ta Ra like classic like Metal Gear theme. You know that dun dun or however it goes. But like beyond that, actually, it's not bad. It's not the worst music, and Konami has some pretty good music in their old NES games.
Yeah.
So it was like I want to say redeeming quality, but there's no redemption to be had here.
So like nothing stood out. So like the original, obviously the theme of our fucking show is like the original Metal Gear, like music, or like the VR arrangement version. But like, there's some truly standout songs on the original Metal Gear games. Like, earworms that get in your head and you, like, think about them sometimes. And I feel like this game doesn't really have any tracks that I thought were that. But they're decent. Like, this is, like, solid 7 out of 10 NES soundtrack.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think compared to the rest of the game, it seems like fucking God tier. feature.
Yeah. Like a John Williams score compared to the to the game.
The game itself.
Yeah. So
but yeah. So I don't know. Hopefully I'd love to go back and see if this composer went on to do anything like standout. But I feel like this wasn't the best. But anyway, so yeah, we start out with this kind of cool like little Metal Gear thing, and even this is kind of like setting the tone for the game because it's like, oh, this cool like Metal Gear schematic, like, oh shit, is something going to happen right after this?
The intro screen's awesome.
Yeah, and then it just goes straight into a start screen. Like it didn't even like the intro screen didn't even like set up a story like Metal Gear 1 and 2 did. The intro screen doesn't really go anywhere. It just shows off the schematics of this Metal Gear.
Yeah.
And then it's straight into start screen territory. So real quick before we get too far past this little start screen, it dawned on me that I forgot to ask you guys how you played this. So for the show, I know we could, this is coming from the guy who went out and bought a goddamn PSP and Metal Gear Acid 1 and 2 just for the show. I chose not to go get an NES and a NES copy. I actually gave away I had a shit ton of old game stuff. Whenever I moved into the city, me and Kristen had to reduce our space by a fair amount. And so I actually gave away any of my game systems pre PS1. I just like gave them to a friend of mine who teaches game development classes because
he's been on the show.
Stuff. Yeah, it was Rob. So Rob, who was on the Metal Gear Solid 3 season. So I donated them to him. So alas, I do not have my old systems, but in order to replicate kind of the home experience, I plugged my Wii into an old CRT TV. And I ROM hacked and put Snake's Revenge on my Wii. And so I played with the classic controller, and I feel like it was as close to the NES experience, plus having the save state scumming that Nick referred to. How'd you guys play it?
I just played it on a PC emulator.
Nice. Did you use a controller or keyboard?
I started with a controller, and then I ended up just switching to a keyboard.
Gotcha. What about you, Sam?
So I'm not smart enough to figure out how emulators work. So about a month or so ago, I found this website. It's 8bbit.com. And there's just like, it's just like a treasure trove of just NES games that you can just play on your desktop. So I've played it on there.
Very nice. Did you? So since I'm assuming it's like Flash based, like it plays on like a little Flash player.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you experience any like weird sort of like input lag or anything like that, like that would affect your play of the game or no?
Not that I could tell. Everything seemed to work snappy as it could for this awful game.
Nice. Okay. Well, cool. So now that we got our due diligence out of the way, as soon as you press start, we get introduced to, like, I laughed out loud at my screen. We get introduced to Lieutenant Snake.
Oh, man. Hey, what color do you wear when you're going into a covert stealth operation? What color would you choose?
I'm just trying to cover myself in doo-doo brown, because that's...
I was about to say, definitely not, like, sherbet orange.
Like, bright orange.
Yeah, that's what
He looks like he's, like, out on a hunting expedition or something like that.
He looks like he's auditioning for a role on Orange is the New Black.
If you mean just prisoner garb?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very funny way to...
Solid Snake, prisoner chic.
It's, so if you guys have a PS4, because I just looked over, because I brought my PS4 into the studio so that me and James could play Resident Evil 7, because James can't play scary games. And so God. I'm looking over. It's been a lot of fun to play with a human being next to me to talk to. But anyway, I looked over and I noticed the like orange standby mode light, like the rest mode light. Like imagine that orange, but like plastic wrapped around a human being. Like that's what
it's bad.
It's
and awful. he's like super buff. Like ridiculously buff compared to any other version of Snake, and what adds to the hilarity of it is when he runs, he does this sort of little prance on like these tiny tiny feet, like he skipped leg day. He's just this big beefcake with these tiny little legs.
Leg day forever.
Yeah, wrapped in emergency sign, like detour orange, like this color of like a safety cone. It's pretty funny.
It's nightmare fuel.
What happens
if you imagine
when,
it in real life.
Yeah. That's what happens when you don't quit after every mission you do.
Yeah, it's
this is an alternate universe where Snake didn't retire after his first mission.
Yeah,
that's true. This is Snake Nukem, like old school Duke Nukem side scroller games for the PC. Like that. Imagine that sprite, but like with a snake haircut. It's awful. So. Anyway, and then we get graced with, like, the greatest opening text of any Metal Gear game of all time. Lieutenant Snake, we received information from our intelligence man at the enemy's base. They have a weapon. Is it Metal Gear, which you destroyed 3 years ago? Go to the enemy base with two men. The pilot, which... Hold on. Choice. Capital T, capital P. The pilot. Like, fucking pronoun
That's
city.
His name. This is the given name.
Yeah, the pilot knows the route.
From the get-go,
my favorite part,
this is not a revenge tale at all. Like,
they don't set this up at all.
As a revenge story. It's just, you know, business as usual for Snake.
Yeah.
My favorite part about that intro sequence is that you did the quote wrong, I'm pretty sure, because it's not "is it?" It is "it is."
Oh.
With a question mark. It is Metal Gear, which you destroyed 3 years ago? Maybe? It is, maybe?
Well, so I got a question. If this was developed for the West, what the fuck happened with this translation? Like, did they not consult with the, like, eighth of the world that is located in the West to see if this translation would fly? Like, I don't...
Well,
it's awful.
I'm not going to defend this game that often, but I will say, you know, the original Metal Gear wasn't the like sterling example of translation either. This guy feels asleep. Yeah. So
well, again, but that was the NES version for the United States. The feel asleep guy was never in the MSX version. I don't think.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
So Ultra needs to get their shit together is what I'm hearing.
That's that's the thing, because the first one was made for, like, both places, so, like, some translation could be expected, but, like, this was made exclusively for America, for the West.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, they should have been on their game.
If I were to do a video essay of this game for YouTube, it would open with the line that opened Metal Gear Solid 3, which was like, the world was divided into two, East and West. And just like hard cut onto like shitty box art for Metal Gear. Anyway, sorry guys.
If I was doing a YouTube review of this game, it would just be nothing but the box with underneath it the end for like 20 minutes.
So we're introduced. We're introduced to Snake's 2 live crew. They get introed real hard. So this intro is gonna come back in a big bad way at the end, which I fucking like. If you just showed me the intro and then the gameplay was only like half an hour, and then I got to the end screen, like the end recall of this intro is like the punchline. So John Turner, aka. Literally, Navy man, an infiltration professional. And then which John Turner totally looks like Mel Gibson's character from Lethal Weapon with a bandana. Does he not?
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
100%.
And then he's been like Donald punched Glover. In the face a few times.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks rough. He looks like, this is actually kind of pretty. He's like Mel Gibson's character from Lethal Weapon and the punk kid from Breakfast Club. Like
and Sylvester Stallone, like
yeah,
push yeah,
absolutely, yeah, like early Rocky. But then
same
we're introduced
nose.
To,
sorry,
yeah. Then we're introduced to Donald Glover. I mean Nick Meyer, the Marine and explosives expert.
So my favorite part of Nick Meyer's is that he looks like Donald Glover from Head On, but like if you look at him in a side profile, you remember that like kids show Little Bill?
Yes.
He kind of looks like Little Bill. Yeah, he looks like Little Bill on the side profile, and I was like, why the fuck is this adult man look like an infant Little Bill?
He just when he looks sideways in that instant, he's just like brought back in time to being a child again.
Little Bill.
Oh gosh,
Nick Myers.
So Nick, I assume you know every Nick, right? So like you're Nick Frater,
oh, sure.
You should know Nick Meyer,
yeah,
right? So what's this guy like?
I don't know this one. I don't know this Nick. I don't care to know this Nick.
You're letting us down, dude.
Yeah. I don't know. He's always like kind of freaking out a little bit. He's calling in to let you know that everybody's in trouble. Don't they get kidnapped like right off the bat or something?
Yeah, hold on, we'll get to that. This like this like crack squad just like oh my
instantly.
God. It's so good. All right, hold on, we'll jump to that because I laughed at my ass off. Like so anyway, Snake is now the Operation 747 leader, whatever the fuck that means. And then the game kind of starts with a bang, like, holy shit. Like, if you were trying to let people know this isn't a sneaky game, I can't think of the better way to, like, the crew bails out of a helicopter. They immediately, like, split up into separate directions and get separated like a bunch of like idiots, and then Snake darts into the jungle while a helicopter is shooting missiles to like illuminate your path.
Yeah,
so this is like loud as fuck. Like there's no stealth here. All right, we don't know who the hell that guy is. Get out of here. You're not welcome here, stealth.
And I think like the first like enemies that you see are just like these flying like. They're not even helicopters. They're like
Robotnik
like
seats.
They're like those Captain EO hover machines from Metal Gear Solid 3.
Yeah, they're like dudes like lying in like those advanced like massage chairs that you see at like the center aisles of the mall or something, just gliding around. And if they see you, you're screwed. Like right off the bat, like you cannot get seen in this game. Otherwise, you're just gonna die.
Yeah. It's like the game opens up trying to be a Contra game, and then, like, you just get steamrolled.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because, like, the reason why I thought it was so difficult when I first started playing it was because the first screen where you see those, like, massage chair dudes, the which it's is like, what they are.
They're listed in the instruction booklet. Massage chair dudes.
Yeah, that's just a name.
They're like the Corbs guys. Like, if you guys ever watched Tim and Eric, they did an episode where they're making fun of chips, and instead of like the highway patrolmen on motorcycles, it's like local cops in those like reclining bike things. Oh, you know what I mean? Like the lay down bike.
Yeah.
So that's these guys. They're like in those little lay down bikes, but with helicopters. For
sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
But I go through that screen, I immediately get seen, and I'm just like, what? Like, do you just have to clear the screen before the missile lights up the screen for some reason, or what? And I discovered that it was because 6 times in a row, I spawned in that screen as the helicopter was crossing over the entryway.
Yeah, it's a cheap game.
So, like, so I just immediately, you just get seen. I'm just like, well, what the fuck, man? And I died, like, 6 times, and then...
Yeah, it works.
I was almost ready to give up, and then I go the 7th time, and they were away, so I managed to get past them. I was like, that's stupid.
It works like the other Metal Gear games where, like, you know, you or like an old Zelda game where if you walk into the next screen, it just scrolls into that next section. And if you walk
wherever they are.
And if you walk into the wrong spot, you get caught immediately. Like, there's no indication that you have to walk into the correct spot. It's all just dumb luck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No radar, no binoculars, no nothing.
Bad design.
No cigarettes, no fucking cardboard,
no cardboard
boxes.
Box.
Yeah, like, what is this?
It's not metal.
Get out of here, Snake.
The endless swapping of key cards is here, though. You missed that particular
thing. The backtracking
is
here.
8 of them.
Yeah. 8 of them.
It's like somebody was like, let's get rid of all the good shit and let's just double down on the doo-doo, please. Like, that's what I want. Anyway. Yeah. This is the Resident Evil 6 of Metal Gear. I wonder, so Sam, you bring up the Metal Gear Solid 3, like, little, like, lazy boy hover bike or hover standees. I wonder if in a weird way this is like a throwback to that, because they're also in a jungle environment.
It might have been.
Or if that, was a throwback to this, not this was a throwback to that. Sorry about that, but yeah.
It was like Hideo Kojima's like, hey, I'm going to do this except better.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. But yeah, so anyway, I thought, so from like a strictly like kinesthetics standpoint, I thought that the controls weren't bad, but for some reason it felt like a little less tight than the original Metal Gear. And I don't know, I mean, it may go back to, Nick, I know we were talking about Snake looks like a doofus, but like, I feel like every character model in this game, like, is just super bulky and clunky and silly. Whereas, like, even Metal Gear 1 for the NES, the characters felt smaller and more agile and, like, a little bit more detailed. And here it's just, like, fucking... This is, like, the Duplo to Lego or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, this is awful.
Absolutely. And the only, like, worse version of these, like, character models ever is the ones in the 2D side-scrolling game also in this same game. Like,
they're
it
awful.
It gets worse.
Yeah, you thought this game did it bad. Well, this game's gonna top itself.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then we get our Snake's Revenge version of the codec, which is this fucking awful like Game Boy green color bullshit. Like, God. And the pilot, who we're gonna be very acquainted with, because the pilot takes the place of Roy Campbell, which makes no fucking sense. Like, he's your go-to guy. Like, what in what military outfit is the pilot of the helicopter that lands you in, like, your go-to guy?
Yeah, you'd think he'd be a little preoccupied. He's not,
the problem is that he's not the pilot, he's the pilot.
That's true, yeah.
And also, when they're calling you, you're hearing this, like, you wouldn't get out of it as quickly as you can, because there's
dude,
this
it's
beep,
awful.
Beep, beep. Like, my wife was like, can you please turn that off or skip that? Like, she couldn't handle it. Like, everything else was fine. She was even, like, bobbing her head a little bit to the music, like, sitting off in the other side of the room. But, like, when that beeping came off, she couldn't handle it. I got yelled at.
I feel like I know I wrote a note down about this, but I don't see it. I swear to God, man, to me it sounded like, fuck, why do I not have, oh, here we go. So this and the alert music sounds like a dude died on a semi-truck, like, steering wheel, and just like, it's honking.
Like, my wife again, she was like, it sounds like basketball. It sounds like people are fouling, like, left and right, because it's that, you know, that that obnoxious obnoxious noise. So
Yeah, the alert, like, if there was, if they wanted to make you not want to be seen, the alert music is just like, I was playing with headphones on because Kristen was sleeping, and I have, like, the old TV had, like, a headphone jack on the front
of the
TV.
You're more considerate than
I am. Oh, man, yeah. That used to save my life when I was a kid, because I used to, like, watch TV and sneak TV, but yeah. I didn't want my parents to hear me, so I'd plug my headphones into the headphone jack.
Exactly. So I'm playing like that, and, like, every time the alert thing would come on, I would just fucking, like, rip my headphones off. Like, it was awful. Like, it's just louder than everything else. But anyway, so the codec, the pilot, tells you to get info from your coworkers, which I thought was a weird way to...
Like, yeah, from your coworkers.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm glad that we saw the same thing, because I like that. Such seems like it's such a.
Also, what are you talking?
Also,
about?
Did you guys take your lunch break yet?
When you're... Yeah,
yeah.
Hey, we're union guys, guys. Take a smoke break.
Like, did you guys catch the game on Sunday?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so weird. And that, like, that through line is going to be throughout this whole game, because it's just like the word usage even is bizarre. But anyway, so yeah, we talked about all these like awful, awful things and all these people popping up. I don't understand the message from the pilot that comes up a couple screens later where he's like, "Hey, I'm sorry, but I can't help you out any further. You're in enemy airspace." So like, so me moving
so the missiles.
Like the pronouns are messed up.
Yeah, like me moving north two screens is suddenly like out of reach for you, but you just like, I don't. It's so weird.
It's like you can fire missiles to somehow illuminate the pitch black jungle two screens down, but the screen no can do.
Yeah, can't talk to me or anything. I know then, so this part I thought was kind of neat in practice, I guess, because we've never really seen this before in the series, but these, like, pitch black screens with spotlights, being, like, the only source of light, I thought it was neat, but, like, goddamn, are the stakes really high right now, like.
Yeah. And also the fact that, like, suddenly it's night, and then suddenly it's day from, like, one screen to the next.
Yeah.
Like, pitch black instantly, and... The I guess, like, you would call it the collision detection for the spotlights is pretty brutal. You have just like a tiny hair that you can stand within to not get spotted by these things sometimes. Otherwise, you're going to hear those awful sirens.
Oh, God. Yeah, I feel like I've been trained now to, like, when I hear those sirens, I just, like, throw up and run and hide. Like, yeah,
it's a defense mechanism.
It's like if you
point.
Hear like the alarm, like if you ever hear your like your wake up alarm sound effect in a commercial or anywhere else, you're just like, oh, what is that?
Yeah,
like you just associate it. So
yeah,
with bad stuff.
Yeah, bad, like waking
bad,
up.
Bad touch.
Yeah,
bad touch.
Bad touch. So we're gonna touch on a couple more things from this little intro area, and then what we're gonna do is kind of progress through the game while hitting highlights, because like. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not going to go through it fucking beat by beat. Like, probably one of the people listening to this has played this before. Everyone else, like, we'll give you the texture, but, like, you can revisit for specifics.
Yeah, we'll give you the recipe. You got to make the dinner.
Yeah, it's pretty ugh. But, yeah, so the inventory pop-up. I thought the inventory was a little bit, I don't know, just there's something more to it, at least as the context where you see, like, the border of, like, a little computer that maybe Snake's looking at to check his inventory, like, on the sides. But the little inventory pop-up's nice instead of just that generic black from Metal Gear 1.
How long did it take you to figure out how to navigate that thing, though? Did you find yourself
screwing
up constantly?
Oh, stuff.
My God.
Yeah, it's awful. How the fuck would you...
The worst.
Like, so on the Wii... With the emulator, I had, like, the classic controller's got more buttons than the NES, obviously. So yeah. I had, like, extra buttons to do that I could, like, either remap or have, like, multiple buttons do the same thing.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure how the fuck you could pull this off on the NES without it being super confusing.
I got stuck in the menu for a long time. Like, I couldn't
I was going to say, I
couldn't
almost
figure
quit.
Out how to get out.
I almost quit 10 minutes into playing this game because I couldn't figure out how to get out of the menu.
Oh, no.
Like, I went to go answer the fucking rotoscope.
Whatever it is.
Codec. And
the roto deck.
the Rotodex, and I couldn't get out of the menu screens. I was like, fuck, man.
And if you go into the menu, you can't back out. You have to actually go into other menus. Like, you have to go into the weapon menu or the equipment menu and try to back out before you can actually back out. It's really bad. It's really bad.
Yeah, it's like you can't scroll back. You have to scroll through everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's God damn it, you guys! Like, this is if you want to be a game developer, you have to play this game so that you
learn
from
what not
to
do. Yeah,
yeah. This is the Tommy Wiseau's The Room of video games. Just don't do that. It was nice to see of all the things to come back. I was like, they're gonna fuck this up, and it's gonna make me so mad. But of all the things to bring back, I'm so glad they brought back the screen cheating item duplication. Where it's like the game, yeah, like the game ROM can't hold enough information, or the RAM, and so like you can just like leave the screen and come back, and it just keeps replenishing items forever.
There's some like little enemy gnome that just comes over and like puts a new item right back where the last one was.
Who keeps taking these? I must replenish. Tra-la-la, TDD.
He sounds just like that.
Would have made this game better.
Yeah, that's true, actually. if you wander around long enough, because, like, I don't know, it's weird. There's not really any sense of direction. There's no visual navigation. There's not really any linearity. Whereas, like, Metal Gear 1, the forest kind of always led you to a certain spot. I feel like there are a shit ton of unnecessary side screens.
Yeah.
So it's
there's no map, right?
To get lost. Yeah, I don't think there's a map. Not that I can find, unless it's buried somewhere in that menu.
Could be.
but if you wander around long enough, you'll receive a message from a seemingly shirtless, scruffy man about hiding near the main gate to receive information. At this point, I was like, where the fuck's the main gate? What are you talking about? What's happening?
And there's two gates. Like, two
big
gates.
Yeah, there are multiple
gates. So it's like, which one's main?
Yeah.
Which one's the main one?
Yeah. This one's the Michigan gate. That one's the main gate. Come on, get it right.
Wow.
Those probably aren't even next to each other. I don't know American geography. I was trying to make a shitty dad joke. Anyway. But yeah, this is the point you guys were talking about, which is like single-handedly the greatest goddamn thing ever. So once you arrive, you'll be told, and I'm not even kidding, you'll be told, we're putting the plan into effect. And then the plan, seemingly, is like two dudes. So there's two guys guarding this main gate, and they're like, all right, Snake, begin the plan. And then Snake takes a step back and like hides. And then the two guards like walk off screen, and then they come back with all of your friends being captured. Like, was that your fucking plan? Like, what?
It's so bad.
And it was at this point that I noticed that Snake's wearing a sleeveless shirt as well.
Yeah.
Like, so everything's just skin tone. Like, his suit is skin tone. Like, his flesh is bleeding into the skin tone suit. He looks somewhat naked, maybe. I don't know what's going on. This is a fever dream. I feel like when Hideo Kojima, like, has 103 degree fever and, like, hallucinates, this is what he sees.
Yeah.
But anyway, also real quick, the enemies totally look like they had turbans to me. Did anybody else get
that? Oh yeah, they do. Totally.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't know if this is a little Desert Storm holdover, but who knows. But yeah, so we're kind of familiar with, like, the enemies having shitty sight distance and the whole hallway keycard stuff. The moment you walk into this building, we're just all of a sudden back to, like, traditional Metal Gear 1 hallway. Like, it's almost like dungeon crawling, but Zelda 1 style.
Yeah, it's like find all the items on this floor or on these floors to progress. It's like the equivalent of Zelda, but instead of keys, you have, you know, random item like X-ray goggles or something else that's going to let you proceed. So
yeah, And I didn't even notice that there was any utility to any of that shit. It was just like, you gotta get it to get it, is what it felt like.
You're right, yeah. There's no, like, story or narrative reason that they're giving you. It's just, find it. And good luck, because there's also going to be 3 to 5 floors on any section. And just tons of rooms to get caught in, or... Man, screw this game.
Yeah, so I'm going to kind of... My most detailed notes are with this first spot, like this first area, but like once we get to the first, I'm gonna say boss very loosely, the first encounter that's not normal enemies, the game kind of just like does this color by numbers thing where it's like, hey, all the shit that you just did, we're gonna do it in a new environment, and we're gonna change out the palettes. So essentially just take what we're about to say for this first section and just like copy paste it like 7 times and replace some of the textures and you'll be good to go. But yeah, so essentially we're kind of back in Metal Gear 1 territory. We find a guest, if you will, some prisoners. And I mean, that's the core mechanic of the game. Like Nick mentioned, you're going to be finding items and you're going to be rescuing prisoners. Like Metal Gear 1, mm-hmm. the more prisoners you rescue, you rank up. And we encounter this dude who's like a different model. Like he's not a prisoner model, but he's not aggressive either.
He kind of looks essentially, like M. Bison or something from Street Fighter. Yeah, a little bit.
Generic NES dictator sprite.
Yeah. With the big hat like that.
Yeah. But so essentially, he just says a thing, and that's it. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about, and then you just leave. And he's always there, just standing there. And so kind of what you have to intuit, because there's nobody fucking telling you, is you have to get this truth gas and then talk to him, and he'll tell you his secret.
Like, they just drop truth gas on you, like the existence of truth gas, very nonchalantly.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? You want to cool it on the truth gas thing? Like, a little bit?
But it's weird.
And the officers... Like, I don't know what happens if you don't get the information from these guys. It doesn't seem like it keeps necessary. You from proceeding. And the information that they tell you is always worthless. It's never anything interesting. Yeah. It's just like, the plan is ready.
Our weapons are ready.
Yeah.
The plan is ready. We're ready to proceed with the plan.
Yeah.
With our weapons that are ready.
Their friends get kidnapped in front of you. That's their plan.
Yeah.
Yep.
But... Yeah, as far as environment art, too, like, this thing is kind of like a weird combination of, like, imagine River City Ransom, but worse, and, like, I don't know, like, not Contra, what was the NES game called? Wasn't it called, like, C or something? I can't remember. Like, the Ultra Games kind of Contra cart that floats around everywhere that everybody has a copy of. I think it's called, like... C Contra or Contra C or something like C Strike or some stupid shit, but like that's what this feels like. It's not like a real Contra, it's like
Super C.
Yeah, Super C. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. But it's just that, like, it's like this awful, it looks like the original Ninja Gaiden a little bit with the environment design.
Yeah.
I don't know, what did you guys think? It just kind of bled together and felt very Wolfenstein 3D shitty pixel art.
Yeah, there's some like different environments down the road, but it's just going to be look almost exactly the same with a slightly different color. So, it's like there's like
it's just like it really does hammer home the whole this isn't a sneaking game thing, cuz it's just like walk down a hallway and shoot man. Like
yeah, shoot man, grab man. That's all it is.
And it's just bad. It just does it badly.
Yeah, there's not
Were
really...
Were you guys mad? Go ahead, Nick, sorry.
I was going to say, yeah, and there's not really, like, a lot of, like, thought to hiding places very often. A lot of these screens are just big, empty squares with the occasional kind of, like, bending walls and that sort of thing to walk through. But it's there's not really much... I don't think there's any thought, actually, that went into this, into the design. Like, zero thought. So.
Yeah, it's just like random barrels here and there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I was super bummed out. So I got the card key 1. When you get card key 2, I was super bummed out that they didn't take this opportunity to fucking stack the cards and make them one item.
This is hands down, I think, the worst part of the game.
I was like, it's a sequel.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, because that was the worst part of Metal Gear 1 and Metal Gear 2 as well.
But I think Metal Gear 2 came out after Snake's Revenge, so I don't...
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It did.
So I think Kojima learned from
this garbage. But it was, like, the worst part of both of those games.
Yeah. And...
Yeah.
And they don't... Like, so eventually, like... That's what they use, of course, to keep you from progressing further. But when you're into the point of getting, like, keycard 7 and keycard 8 and that sort of thing, like, stop using keycards 1 through 5 or whatnot. But no, they're going to make you keep flipping through all different 8 keycards to try to find the right one to go into the door. And then there's going to be another door, and you have to do the same thing again. And guess what? You're going through that unmanageable menu. Like, you're always in that awful menu
every time.
So it's just it's
really bad.
Worst part of the game,
the usability. I'd say, like, functionality, sort of, like, I don't know, like, user experience is awful here. Like, there's I don't know, it just feels like the Dragon Warrior of action games, you know what I mean? Because it's, like, not actiony enough to be a Contra, but it's not thoughtful and stealthy enough to be anything other than, like, a shitty Contra with a bad menu.
Yeah.
So it just kind of falls in this, like, really shit middle ground where, like, nothing works well. Like, there's no synergy to, like, the mechanics. But, so the unarmed enemy...
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, the unarmed enemy that we encounter, I just wanted to make this real quick mention... Is this the first time in Metal Gear history that we hold up a guard?
I think so.
God damn it. I didn't want Snake's Revenge to get any firsts, you guys.
We can just pretend.
Okay.
And it's Nick, like, what were you gonna say? it's not entirely holding up a guard, right?
That's true. He's, like, already ready for your speaking.
He's just like, he's already docile. He's not doing anything.
Yeah.
That's a good point. But yeah. So one quick final note about this area that where things are kind of different is, like, we're introduced to the side scrolling
sections. Yeah.
Do you guys wanna let people know what it is?
More hot crap.
Just the worst.
And the enemies throughout, both in the side-scrolling area and, like, the regular, you know, top-down perspective areas, they don't follow consistent patterns. They'll just randomly turn around or be in different places. So you can't – like, you're going to get caught. You're just going to get caught constantly. And the side-scrolling is no exception.
It's kind of like if every enemy in Metal Gear 2 was that one guy in the jungle that looks back behind him every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if every enemy
but
was
But there's
that.
No pattern at all, and they're just randomly doing that. No. Which I guess is more realistic if they were to... But, you know, that's not what you want in a video game. And with the side-scrolling, they have... It took me the longest time to figure out that I actually could... You, like, switch different items. Like, the inventory setup changes immediately. Like, you have a knife and a gun and a ration. And I don't know. That's really about it. And you're just trying to get from left to right and not die. And you're going to die a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, and for me, too, I would say, like, the 2D stuff just feels so fucking out of place compared to everything else up until this point. And that's, to me, like, that was the biggest, so, like, there was the 2D section in Metal Gear 1 when you would get on an elevator, and that's it, but this game just kind of, like, runs with it, and I just feel like all of the, going back to the character models feeling really beefy, like, they don't change the character models when we enter this 2D view, so you're just dealing with these, like, really beefy, bulky fucking models that are taking up, like, a third of the screen.
Yeah.
And so, like, then the whole 2D section has to be, like, built around that. But it's almost like it feels like the characters are too big for the environment when they're in the 2D sections.
And your jump is really, really weak.
Awful.
You have this weak ass
Snake's
jump.
Snake's got that weak jump.
Because he skipped leg day. He's got those tiny little legs. And, again, you have soldiers. Like, you'll walk into the next screen and suddenly you'll be caught. Like, instantly, like, and you have to crawl in a lot of cases everywhere you're going, and I don't know. Just play this game and learn how terrible it is.
Yeah, I think so. Likewise, too, we'll get to the boss here in a second of this section, but I feel like...
Quote boss.
Yeah, quote boss. I feel like... So, again, this identity crisis that the game has between being Metal Gear and being an action game, will sort of... I don't know, it's weird the way that the game sort of telegraphs to you, because I have no idea how to play this game. I feel like other NES games do such a good job. Like, you could look at Mega Man, you could look at Zelda, you could look at Metroid, you could look at even fucking Blaster Master. Like, all these games are, like, they're, like, a masterclass in, like, how to visually tell somebody. Like, Super Mario World 1-1. Like, holy right. shit. Like, go right. Oh, you can't go right anymore. Oh, I just saw this thing fall, so I should be able to jump. So, like, visually telegraphing what your players should do. I get it. Mm-hmm. But with this, it's like, it's Metal Gear, so I should be sneaky, but you're giving me fucking grenades and plastics explosives and machine guns, like, minute 15 or less into the game.
Yeah.
Which, mind you, the grenades in this game, that seemed like a good time to mention it, look like actual pineapples.
Yeah.
They're orange.
They really do. So, pineapples and 5.56ers for everyone is what this should be. Because it's, dude, this, it's, oh, man. I don't know.
Yeah, and
this,
so.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, and yeah, in these side-scrolling missions, like, the little sections, there are parts where you're going to have to, like, bomb barricades to get through. And it's like, I had to look at a guide, because there was no mention or any indication that you could even change weapons here. Like, nothing is telegraphed, even, like, how to do the basic actions in the game. And maybe it's in the instruction booklet that came with it to kind of give it. But I'm going to guess it doesn't. I'm going to guess it's still – the instruction booklet is just as bad and just says, like, listen up, coworkers. You're about to play Snake's Revenge. And then that's it. Hint line 1-900.
Yeah. Straight from Konami's worker prison labor camps.
Yeah.
Don't take too long on your lunch break, or we're going to televise you to the entire company and make fun of you over the loudspeakers.
That's bad.
But yeah. So we encounter our first boss.
New game from Konami, Coworker Simulator 2017.
Yeah. Yes. So none of... Do you guys want to make up names for these bosses? Because I didn't encounter any boss names here.
Well, that's the thing, because I wasn't sure... Like, they certainly introduced themselves as if they were bosses, but, like, I don't... They didn't introduce them, so they don't have, like, cool names like Night Fright and Dirty Duck and Machine Gun Kid.
Like, and Red Blaster.
Running Man. Yeah, Red Blaster. Like, they don't have cool names. And I looked up, like... the bosses in this game to see if they had names. I couldn't find a single fucking thing. Like, they just don't have names. They're just like the Jackson 5. These guys are the Jackson 5.
Yeah, this is the Runaway 5 that we're fighting.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, so it's five dudes. Like, that's the first boss, just room full of dudes.
Just room full of dudes.
Yeah,
and
it's
infuriatingly
fucking
tough. It is
it's
the toughest. It might be the toughest boss fight in the game, and they throw it at you first.
Brutal. So. Yeah, it's just get good, like, right out the gate.
Some Dark Souls fucking
bullshit.
Nah,
dude. Not
some,
even that.
Some
Dark
Kings
Souls.
Some
Dark
Kingsfield.
Souls is fair.
Yeah. You've got a shot.
This is awful. Yeah, this is, like, if this is some Dark Souls bullshit, this is, like, the dragon on the bridge is what it is. But, yeah, so, dude, just Contra-style grenade throw that shit. Lob it is... fast as you can and just duck and cover. Like, it's all I got for you.
As these five dudes just try to tackle Snake, like, just try to dogpile him. It's bad.
Yeah, dude, they're coming at you. Like, they're unchained. Like, these guys are coming for you.
And they take an absurd amount of hits, too. And then once you've knocked out, like, one or two of them, there's still, like, three left. you know, to go, and they're just constantly ramming Snake. It's really bad.
it's almost
with
like
their unavoidable attacks, which is actually accurate.
Yeah, I feel like it's like baby's first game. Where have you guys ever fucked around with like StarCraft map makers or like making mm-hmm. levels for games or doing any of those RPG
like
maker?
The Halo Forge mode and like
it's how the maps are designed. It's just plopping elements wherever it and seeing how it plays out.
It's like that, but also like. So different than Halo Forge stuff, like if you have worked on like an RPG maker or something similar to that where you can adjust attack strength and like enemy health, it's like some dude just blindly was like, oh, well, this is the boss, so I'm just going to make him have 500 HP, and nobody fucking play tested it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's just awful. But anyway. So yeah, it reminded me of like Baby's First RPG Maker game a little bit, where it's like, wow, I just got to this impenetrable meat wall. But yeah, so anyway, after this we get to leave this biome and go to a new one where we're tasked with saving all the prisoners and blowing up the ship. So this section actually has a kind of a mission. You're blowing the ship up, but you have to find all the dudes and find all the things first. Yeah. Summary, there's a flare gun copy pasta from the previous 20 minutes that we just spouted out of our mouths. And again, the boss is just a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
These are the... We're just going to name after, like, old, like...
This is the Magnificent Seven. That's who you're playing.
Yeah, the Magnificent Seven. Seven.
Did you guys...
Minus four, right? It's just the three guys lobbing grenades at you, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Sorry, I was just trying to come up with a catchy name. Yeah.
The three...
Magnificent Seven, but don't worry about that number at the end. It's just kind of...
Magnificent Seven minus four.
Yes. Did you guys have any notes for the ship? At this point is where I was just like, fucking, let me get through this, I guess.
Not really.
We're getting really close to the point where I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to watch the rest of this on YouTube.
Yeah. You just, like, the only thing I've got is that you go down into the hold, and you just have to like blow up this ammo dump or something. And there's no indication. Yeah. Like, there's no indication of that's what you're supposed to do. I mean, they might mention it. You just have to luck into like placing plastic explosives on this thing that looks like, you know, just another environment element. It doesn't look like anything special, and you blow it up. And that's it. You just leave. You, like, call in a helicopter pilot, and you're out of there, and on to your next biome of copy-pasting.
Yeah. We're in the prison camp, the mine, or... I don't know. This section is a mining camp of some sort. But this is where I literally got stuck. So there's this above-ground section that's kind of short, and then there's this underground section. And this is the point where I stopped, because... I'm not even fucking kidding. I thought that I had fucked something up, but it turns out that in reality, when you go underground, if you hang a left, you literally just get stuck. Like, there's no way around it. Like, I went online. Apparently, they're based from what I have read. I mean, if you guys are listening to this and you're like, oh, I'm the hardcorest Snake's Revenge fan, and I'm going to write you a nasty letter, Alessio.
That's not a real person.
Yeah, do so, because
that
I need to know you
exist.
I need to know you're real. And secondly, if you know of a way to get out of this thing, like, you just turn left, and then like you get shunted into this little section, and then there's no way out. And there's, like, from what I can tell online, there's just no way out. Like, even walkthroughs are like, if you think about turning left in this section, don't do it. Like, do not... Like, all caps, do not turn left. Like, so I don't know. It's crazy. So I got stuck here and fucking wandered around the screen for an hour and then was like, nope, YouTube time.
I actually got lucky on this part because I didn't go left at all.
I think did yourself a favor by going left and tapping out on this awful game.
This is like that one movie where everybody's on this journey, but they slowly are getting killed off until, like, there's only one left.
And the dead people are the lucky ones.
Yeah. Yes. Nick's going to be the one that makes it all the way to the end. It's like Hasselhan and Hill.
This is just it's Shaun of the Dead, and in the end, it's going to turn out that Nick's going to have a zombie Sam and Alessio living in his garage.
He plays video games with.
Yeah, we play Snake's Revenge
all the time. Man. Yeah,
because once you can conquer the revenge, you can do it all day long.
Yeah.
I need to look up a. I will check it out before the end of the episode, but I want to check and see like what the quickest completion time of this game is. But yeah, so I don't know, this mine area, based on what I saw, it just seems like it's nothing but like laser traps and like backtracking, and then a shit ton of 2D stuff is what I gather.
Yeah, yeah, they start to like pepper that in a lot more, and I actually think the 2D stuff is significantly worse than the overhead sections. So the next area actually does kind of looks kind of cool. At least it's different to some degree. The train.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You take an elevator from the mine into this train, and then the train is the next zone, I guess. But it's just like a bunch of sort of train compartments that you're going from.
Yeah. It's actually nice because there's no maze to it. You can only go up.
Yeah.
So it makes it pretty, the faster you can get through this game, the better. So as long as you can keep moving.
If we could go back in time, I would like go to the design discussion that this game was having, and I would just pitch to them like, I think the whole game should be on a train.
I think the whole game should be canceled.
Yeah, just walk in. Yeah, if I could go back in time, I wouldn't go back in time and kill Hitler. It's too easy. I'd go back in time and just like suicide bomb the development office of Snake's Revenge.
Oh,
that's
man.
The problem with this, though, because if Snake's Revenge had never come out, would Metal Gear 2 have ever come out? And then would the series have ever happened?
Yeah,
well,
that's true.
You make a valid point. Yeah, maybe we needed this.
This is the game we
demon.
Deserved.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Snake's Revenge isn't the hero we wanted, but it's the hero we fucking got.
So, yep. Sam, were you still playing at this point?
Yeah, yes. Let us know when you dropped off,
yeah.
Sam.
I will, yeah.
What did you think of the train, Sam?
The train was like a reprieve. It felt nice to just have something simple to do.
It's still hard as hell, though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Waterboarding feels nice after you've been tortured with fire.
Yeah, very true. But it was just kind of like I got really confused because I didn't know why the train didn't stop at the end, and I realized that you had to collect, like, everything, all the items on the train.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just like, this is so fucking stupid. So I had to go back and do it all.
So,
but I made it work.
Can you guys tell me about the boss fight at the end of the train? Because I think somehow I scrubbed past it, and scrubbing through the long play of the game on YouTube, it was really hard to like pinpoint exact sections whenever I had like, because yeah. I was like taking notes and eating and watching YouTube, so I think I just like somehow missed the entire boss fight for this section.
It starts out at the very beginning. There's that John is calling you and he's like, hey man, there's no traps on the train, and then the train is just full of traps, like nonstop traps, like spike traps. And then John calls again a little bit later, and he's like, hey, man, I'm in the next car. Come rescue me. There's no enemies here. And then, like, when you go in, surprise, there's a whole bunch of enemies. And then the final enemy is, I guess it's fake John. I don't know if John is real or just, like, an imposter John.
Imposter Professor John.
Yeah, you go up to him and he immediately like hurts you, like knocks off like half your health.
Oh my god.
There's a huge pit in the middle of the room, and I guess we didn't even talk about these traps. Like the
pits. Why is there a pit in the middle of a train?
Yeah, it makes no sense. And it's insta death anytime you hit that, and I'm pretty sure you have to go back to the beginning of the train if you're not doing save states or anything like that.
Ugh.
And they're not indicated at all, and you can't dodge them. And it, like, when I say pit, it's not like it takes up, like, a little tiny, square underneath Snake. It's, like, 75% of the room is this giant pit that will open
up.
And so he's dropping these claymore mines like nuts. And just bullets are flying everywhere. And Snake is, like, at least in my game, Snake is just launching stinger missile after stinger missile at him, while just like in one hand he's got the stinger missile on his shoulder, and the other hand he's just eating ration after ration after ration. It's ridiculously hard, and I thought the first boss was the worst, and this guy actually might be worse. I might have spoke too soon, so that's fake John. He's tough. Yeah. So
let's try and figure out. So I get that the easy through line is that Snake's trying to get his revenge on Metal Gear. Metal Gear never did anything to Snake, so I don't buy that. So let's try and sluice out who the revenge is being exacted upon.
Do you guys think it's his coworkers?
Do you guys think it's his coworkers?
Probably his coworkers.
I think right now we got a strong case for coworkers.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we're gonna call it coworkers. Jesus.
Well, in case the first prison camp was too much fun for you, they brought back a second prison camp. So the prison camp's doing its encore ride.
This is where I tapped out.
Oh,
can you tell us why?
So I'm going to be honest with you. It's because I was walking around trying to blow up these walls, and I was falling asleep.
Oh, no.
And I fell asleep, and I was doing this. So mind you, I was doing this at work because I work at a place where I don't often see a lot of people. So I was doing this at work, and I work in a place where even though like sleep is the goal, you really shouldn't sleep at this place. So I fell asleep for like 10 minutes, and I was like, I can't play this game anymore.
It's okay to play video games at work, but don't you dare go to sleep.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I feel like that's like the cardinal sin of any medium, though. It's like if your piece fucking makes people fall asleep, like you did wrong.
And I was playing it and I feel asleep.
Yeah. So Sam actually fell asleep.
Yep.
And then there was one still playing this game.
Somehow
Alessio was too much of an ambi-turner.
And you tapped out.
I feel asleep.
Yeah. At a really good place because it's.
I feel asleep.
Tell us about this. Tell us about this concentration camp.
All right. So here's the deal. You got to blow up the walls to get through. But the problem is that, you know, even if there's no guards in the area and you blow up this wall that you have to get through, you are forced into an alarm sequence. Every time you blow up a wall, and there's a lot of them, these small
semi trucks come a honking.
Summon trucks come a honking. You fouled on the basketball court, and there's going to be about six dudes that come in one at a time. And, you know, they're tough. Like, they're really tough. You're going to get hit. And so, yeah, you're just slamming down rations. It's bad. And
it's
then somebody
an
calls.
IV drip.
And then one of your coworkers calls from out of nowhere. You haven't met this coworker yet. This is Jennifer. This is the coworker that, you know, the other guys at the office are talking about, because it's the only girl, your only girl coworker.
Yeah, obviously.
And she's not really all that attractive, but since she's the only girl coworker, they talk a little more about her. So she calls and arranges for a meetup.
Is that code?
I think so. So Snake's about to get his revenge.
Oh wow!
So
things are taking we're making a real.
Well,
I don't know if I like these words that you're saying, Nate.
So basically, you got to go after Jennifer, and there's like it's just more underground side scrollers, like nonstop until you get above ground again, and you fight the next boss, and this is
which is a tank. I saw that
tank.
Part. I done seen that.
And, I done seen it.
Yeah. So this is basically you're on this bridge, and there's like a little alcove that you can hide off to the side, and you got to drop like all these claymore mines, or not claymore mines, but just like regular mines, and everything is insta death. If the tank touches you, you die. If you walk a little too far to the edge, you fall into the water and you die. And the tank is randomly spinning, you know, its turret. And if you get hit by a shell from it, you die. So it's just And it's it's like randomized. There's no pattern to how it moves. I just kept save stating. And you have to hit it with like 15 to 20 mines or something before it goes down. This would be, I don't know how people beat this, because if you didn't do a save state, because it's going to be, you know, randomized every single time. So
I feel like, do you guys think this game, so if this game had like a you're dead, you're back in the action, sort of like Super Meat Boy Hotline Miami to it, mm-hmm. and if maybe this game was like remade with like a neon Double Dragon coat of paint where it's like very tongue-in-cheek making fun of itself, I feel like this game might do well if it was just like, you're dead, go, fuck it, go, woo, guns, all of it, go, woo. Like, I feel like this game could be fun, but this game is not made that way at all.
No, and like in Hotline Miami, you don't have to hit any enemy 15 times and they hit you once and you're dead.
Oh, it's such a good game. Okay.
It is a good game.
Sorry. I just remembered I logged like 40 hours of time into that game on
it's
Steam.
It's a good game.
Oh, so good.
And now I want to listen to the soundtrack instead of playing this game.
Yeah. Ooh, that would be fun, maybe, if you're save scumming and you can do it fast enough, just put on the Hotline Miami soundtrack and just like power through Snake's Revenge.
There you go.
Yeah, there
you go. It's still going
to suck. Yeah.
Fair enough. Probably.
You'll just wish you were playing Hotline Miami.
That's true.
Pretty much.
But yeah, so the next sequence...
What's the quickest way to make me wish I was playing a different game? Let me listen to the soundtrack of that different game while I'm playing the game that I'm currently playing.
That's true. This next area, even on YouTube, I got lost trying to like scroll through the last section of the game, because it's like, it's five buildings, each building
it's
getting
huge.
Increasingly large, and it's just this fucking massive, ugly corridor nightmare. Like, it's, I feel like I've run out of negative expletives to say about this game at this point, so I'm just gonna like hang my head in shame.
It tops itself in this section too. Like, it's the ultimate like shitty center to like this shit shell covered game.
And it melts in your hand and in your mouth because it sucks.
Yeah, it just, and does not come out of anything. So,
Nick, is there anything you want to say about this section? Because in my notes, I literally just go straight up to the second to last boss of the game. So if you want to talk about any particular moments of this corridor hell, now
I'm just gonna,
that's like anything that stands out, anything that like wowed you, made you say wow?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, good wow.
I'm going to lay out... Oh, bad wow. I'm going to lay out just a few things that are part of this fun area. You get stuck in these gas rooms. And like,
Love it.
There's no gas mask in this game. Your health is just going down. Your health is just going down. And not only are you stuck in these gas rooms, there's these two random orange blocks that the only thing you can do is stab them with your knife to make them go away so you can get through the door. And this is all while your health's going down. So again, like, Snake's got his knife in one hand, he's got his rations in another, and he's just gobbling rations as he's stabbing these random orange blocks. And the orange blocks take, there's two of them, and they probably take like 30 to 40 stabs
each. Are you serious?
I am dead serious. Yeah. And then, not only that, you start meeting up with these POWs. You know, you've been rescuing these guys like all the time. You'll go and talk to one, and he'll just explode. But he's like surprise, and then he just blows up, and like you're like almost instantly dead. Like, there's like, this game has like trained you. This game is trolling you at this point. It's just straight up trolling you.
You're right,
because like, it's trained you to get like to rescue these POWs, but you know. So you're going to go try to rescue them. Oh, and they'll also, when they aren't exploding, they're putting, like, those hidden pits, like, right in front of them.
Oh, hell yeah.
Take up, like, the whole room. Where if you're not walking, like, hugging the wall on the right side of the room, you're dead. and there's no way of knowing which wall to hug. There's also poison.
I kind of wish that like some of the Metal Gear Solid games had these pit.
Oh, they do.
Like traps.
The ones where
the floor just expands.
Oh, yeah. not like the clicking and then the drop.
Yeah.
No, not like the clicking. Just like random, like, oh, here you go.
Yeah. Hey, screw you.
I definitely
enjoy
just heard Snake
gamer.
In my head going, ah, like down the hole.
Ah!
Yeah, that was great.
And he's like looking up at you in that, like, that's a really weird animation. And
yeah, he like falls back first.
Yeah. And he's like looking up at you, like reaching, like flailing his hands. It's dark.
Almost as if to say, you did this.
It's yeah. To really rub it in your face. So, okay. So, those are just a few of the lovely treats that await you in this area. There's also poison spears, and these spears.
What?
Yeah, poison.
You're just. Are you making shit up at this point, Nick?
I swear I'm not. This is a real deal. These poison spears come from different angles in this like long hallway. It's like a gauntlet of like seven. Poison tip spears, and if you have like a millisecond to get past the first one, and if you walk like an inch too far, you're getting stabbed by the next one, and if you don't walk an inch far enough, you're getting stabbed by the one that's right there, and then you have maybe two antidotes total. I don't even know where I got them. Like, I don't even know where I got these antidotes, and if you run out, your health is just going to decline. So I don't know. I don't know if you ever recover naturally. I don't know if Snake can metabolize this poison. So you're just going to slam rations. So basically, yeah, you get stabbed. There's not a whole lot you can do. It's just bad. It's bad game design. This, you know, and they don't give you the materials you need to actually deal with this. You just have to play it perfectly. There's like an area where you have to like dodge lasers at the Snake Rave. There's like you wear these infrared goggles, and they're just like flipping
around. Oh, you mean the
optic
lens?
Lasers? Yeah. Is that like a Panic at the Disco tribute band?
I think
Laser,
it's a
Snake Rave.
It's a Laser Snake USA.
Yeah, which would have been a better title for this game. and then you like find like this like microphone or something, and you go into this room, and there's nobody in it, and you just see dot dot dot, and if you use this microphone, you hear somebody say, "Hey, you can kill Big Boss because like if you his weak spot is like the bottom of his feet." And apparently like you're like listening in on like somebody in the next room who's just casually discussing Big Boss's weakness. So
is
yes, Big Boss
is
in this game. He is.
Yeah, I know. But like it's just yeah. Very presumptuous of them.
Yeah. And then you find another POW and he's just like laying there on the ground. He's like, "Hey dude, Jennifer, she's a spy." And just to let you guys know, they never bring this up again. You rescue Jennifer later, and there's no indication that she was a spy or anything.
No
like,
closure.
No closure. It's like, what was that guy talking about? Was he just trying to fake me out? And so that guy just lays there, and then he, like, turns to stone. Like, he turns gray.
Are you sure you weren't like on opiates or something?
You're describing me an episode of like Xavier Renegade Angel right now. Like you're not like this is not real.
This is like I feel like
I
I'm
swear
watching like I'm that, listening to you explain the plot of like a really bizarre episode of Tim and Eric.
This is where the fever dream. This is like where you're starting to have like a temperature of maybe like 106 or 107. Like you're about to die at this point.
I feel like if there was a game in the canon that our good friend Matt Campbell could be a part of, I wish it was this.
this game.
Yeah.
You know, I really, you know how like Metal Gear Solid games do like weird shit sometimes, all the time.
Yeah.
I want there to just be like a sequence where Snake has a dream in a Metal Gear Solid game, and you have to play through like this part of Snake's Revenge.
Oh, well, spoiler alert, there might be a part like that in Metal Gear Solid 4.
Oh, shit.
No, I'm just kidding. So, Nick, am I good to talk about the boss?
I'll tell you one last thing that's in this area, and it's these nasty little, like, Ninja Turtle-colored cars. Like, they're like these trolley cars that, like, go up and down, and they do another side-scrolling game, but there's, like, soldiers that are peeking up at you. Like, from outside, there's a guy, he's just, like, looking from through different windows. And you have no indication. Yeah, there's no indication. He's just like, who's up there? And you just have to dodge him, and you're going to get caught. You're going to get caught a whole bunch of times unless you stand, like, on the very edge. It's just, like, pure, like, all these things that they've not set you up for. They've set you up only to fail in this game, and it sucks. That's it.
I feel like
that's about it.
just about. This is like it feels like the are you a bad enough dude to save the president sort of like just like the hardest game ever kind of feeling.
Yeah.
But yeah, so our final boss, I'm assuming, is the big boss. Yes.
Kind of.
I didn't
He's like the penultimate boss. Yeah.
No, I get that. So, like, in the longstanding tradition of Metal Gear, having, like, a puny fight prior to the Metal Gear fight.
Big boss with a twist, right after. Though.
Yeah. So, yeah. But was this big boss? Because, like, whenever I watched the playthrough, again, I must have, like, blinked and missed this guy's name, but I didn't know who the fuck this was.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
I thought it was it's, just it's, a guy.
No, it's big boss. He's back.
He drops some mad spoilers for Metal Gear Solid 5, too, might I add.
What's that?
I said he drops some mad spoilers for Metal Gear Solid 5, might I add.
Oh, what does he say?
Well, he's like, I'm a...
Oh, yeah, that's true. Because like, yeah. Why not?
Which, spoiler alert, sorry. I might bleep that out, I don't know. But, yeah.
What's
so, yeah,
boss
I mean,
ever?
You... Say again?
Was Big Boss a ever?
No, but like half. I don't know. Whatever. Who cares?
Do you think, God. Alessio, do you think that all people with
Yes. Anyway. So yeah, so we deal with Big Boss, who I feel like the human form is not that bad from what I saw. You just shoot him a bunch. But then he becomes a big-ass fucking metal man that you have to just, like, unload everything on.
Yeah, but you can't hurt him at all in the first room that you're in, like, in the boss room. Like, they don't tell you this, but you have
so
to
you
actually,
waste everything.
Like, you waste everything, and then you die, and then you visit him again, and unless you're looking at a walkthrough, you don't think to, like, oh, I gotta equip key card 6 of 8 and go out this door. That's on the bottom of the door that you came in on. You actually have to like backtrack, like run away from him through multiple rooms before you get into a room where you can actually fight him. There's nothing telling you to do that. So I really don't know how people beat this game. And when you do, then you're just when you finally get
him. I'm convinced you're the first person to ever beat it.
It could be. And I time traveled and wrote the walkthrough for myself to follow.
You did every speed run and walkthrough that's out there. Well, just like traveling back in time.
Because there is a
guys,
world
I secretly
line.
Love this game.
There is a world line where Nick is just still playing this game trying to finish it, and it's been years, and this Nick is like dedicated his life to finishing it, and so he has finally finished it at the ripe old age of, like, 86, and then has time-traveled back in time to provide the guide so that no other Nick on any other world line has to experience that hell.
It's like Earth 2 Nick is the one who...
And if I don't beat it in the past, the Terminators will... will rule.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it's
there's
bad.
Secrets tucked away at the end of this game that will actually prevent World War 3.
Directed by James Cameron.
Yeah.
So
what you didn't see is there's a comma. It's actually James and Cameron.
Oh, shit.
Both from this show. James has been on an episode of this show. I always forget that.
Yeah.
Where you explain to him what makes Metal Gear Metal Gear.
I always forget about that.
Yeah. And you're just going to lay mines for this dude to run over. And it's kind of like the tank. It takes a ridiculous amount. And what you do, though, you don't want to mess around. You just want this game to be over at this point. So you just
the end is in sight.
Yeah. So all you got to do is you just stand next to him. And you got you have a stockpile of 12 rations at this point. So you're just like, in with one hand, you're slapping down claymore mines or mines, just blowing yourself up and Big Boss at the same time. And with your other hand, you're just slamming rations, just eating them as fast as you can until he finally goes down. And there's a little reward for you.
Uh-oh.
Around the corner. It's Jennifer. Yeah. She's
Jennifer.
There.
Oh. Jennifer?
Yeah. But it's not over. I don't really understand. She's just thanks. And she does this thing where she holds her hand out. And I think she's supposed to be waving to you, waving goodbye. You still have control of Snake at this point. But it's a straight-up Sieg Heil. She's got, Nazi gesture out. And she's just holding it there. I would encourage you to look at this.
If I can find a high-res enough thing, I'll just make that the cover image for the episode.
Yeah, there you go.
On SoundCloud.
Jennifer's Sieg Heil. You're off to the real boss at that point.
Yeah, she literally just says, "Thanks, Snake. You can go into the secret room from here."
Yeah,
and it's I didn't even know there was a secret room. What are you talking about? Who are you?
It's because she's a spy, apparently.
Again, not addressed. Also, they give at the end.
She's Eva's mom. Or Eva's daughter.
Yeah, that's it. Because everything's related in the Metal Gear universe. Yeah.
Fucking Star Wars universe, Metal Gear universe, everybody's connected bullshit.
Totally. And they don't give her any kind of they give everybody sort of that ending where it's oh, here's what so-and-so did after the end of the game.
They're
after
both
this
great.
Experience.
Hold on to that. Because that's
I'm not going
to
spoil them, but I will
so
say... Jennifer doesn't get one. It's just Jennifer is still saluting the Third Reich in that room next to the secret room.
Next to Mecha Hitler and the pathway to Metal Gear.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I love it. So and it sucks because I feel they're still throwing key cards at you. Literally, we're in the final stretch of the fucking game. And I'm pretty positive I saw the guy playing the game using key cards to get to the end of the game.
Sure are, and they're probably flipping around between 1 through 8. It's nonsense.
But yeah, so then we encounter Metal Gear 2, the final boss. And I, going back to what I said at the beginning of the episode, feel like this is such an anti-climax. Because you're wanting to show up and duke it out with this big ass robot, and the whole game has been all about action, and then you get here and it's just fuck it, it's the mother brain fight. You just stand at one spot and shoot missiles at a thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And nothing is threatening you at all. You're just standing there. It's and firing those Nikita missiles through this small winding path.
Can you run out of missiles? Because the fucking doors are constantly slamming on the missiles.
So there's those doors. So check this out. They just keep blowing up. I missed him so many times. And even when you get it in through the tunnel, you have to steer it a little further to hit him right in his eye, in his Metal Gear eye. And no shit, one missile left. And I was I probably should have reloaded a save. Got him on the last missile. So I don't know if that was I don't know if that was scripted and or that's supposed to happen that way. And
no,
I went
this game
into
is too functionally useless to script.
No,
that.
I think I just got the luckiest I've ever been, and I
that's
wasted
amazing.
My good luck on Metal freaking Snake's Revenge. I should have bought a lottery ticket, but
I was
no.
about to say, that could have been the fucking Mega Millions, dude. And you fucking
exactly.
Wasted it
I wasted
Metal
it.
Metal Gear Snake's Revenge.
And I had 80 missiles, a stock of 80 missiles to fight this final boss. And it came down to the last one. And so
Jesus
I was like,
Christ.
Ooh. But you know what? Honestly, at that moment, if I was forced to play Metal Gear Revenge or Snake's Revenge, and people were like, you could win the lottery, or you could kill this final boss with this last missile and be done with this game. Which you choose? I'd be like, just give me that last missile, just get this over with. So it was so bad.
Well, so before we talk about the end, I do want to formally apologize on behalf of Metal Gear Mondays for inviting Nick onto the destructive, torture, masochistic episode of the show. And I want to apologize to Nick's wife if Nick lost his cool at any point while playing this game. Because I could just see my, I could see if I played to completion, I could see like Kristen being like, you need to calm down, and me being like, I'm fucking calm. Like, just losing my mind.
Like, I picked up my keyboard and just threw it at the wall.
Are you serious?
So, oh, no.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, I was like, that's amazing.
I've never been somebody to, like, get to that point where, like, I've never thrown a controller. I think I've been like, oh, I don't want to ruin this controller that I have. But, like, I've never been the type of person. But this was the first game where I was like, I could see myself destroying the things around me. Like, it's such a bad game. It's the worst game I think I've ever played. Like, I like tough games too. Like, I can go back to old school games and, like, you know, fight my way through, but no, this one's just pure trash. So I wish I would have gotten the memo that I could watch this on YouTube.
Sorry.
And not actually play it. Yeah.
But so as we experience the end, and I had to watch this ending a couple different times because I was like, there's no way that this is how it ends. Literally just text on screen. After the completion of Operation 747, the UN declared World Peace Day. However, I had to roll it back a couple times because, like, I don't understand. I read this, like, at least three times, and the way that un and declared are spaced out, there are no periods between the U and the N, and it looks like
it says they undeclared it.
Yeah, the undeclared World Peace Day. Like, ah, oh, it's so bad. And then after that, we get to hear about our favorite friends. So John Turner pulls up, and it's just like, essentially, it's just like this very epic, like, let's find out about what happened to your friends. And it's like, John Turner was never seen or heard from ever again. And then Nick Meyer. I don't understand. I don't understand how this happened. I'm pretty sure Nick disappeared. Like, I did not encounter Nick ever again.
Yeah, after, like, he left in the jungle at the beginning of the game,
you never see Nick again. Yeah.
Like, you never find him.
Nick was, this direct quote, Nick Meyer was promoted three ranks after dying in Foxhound.
Yeah.
What?
Like, the happy ending.
Presumably, after he split up with you at the beginning of the game, he just fell down a cliff and
just
died.
And they still promoted him three ranks for shits and gigs, I guess.
Yeah, like, what a happy ending. Way to go, Snake. You know,
everyone's dead.
Oh, your coworkers are gone. So,
I'm assuming since John Turner's been missing in action at the end of the game that maybe it wasn't fake John on the train after all.
I don't know if maybe they were like leaving room for a sequel. Like, John is going to be like the new bad guy in the next game. Like, he's still running around somewhere. You killed fake
John.
But yeah, I guess. Like, I don't know. Cyborg John, probably.
Oh, shit. Forgot about Cyborg John.
You do also get a little ending for Snake, too.
Oh, was it after the credits? Because I didn't know if there was anything after the credits. Fuck, what did I miss?
Really not too much. It's just, like, this big, like, hulked out. Like, he's, like, showing his bicep, and he's just got, like, this real serious look on his face. And it's sort of like a slight profile shot of him. And then he's just, like, looking there, and then suddenly he smiles, and that's it. And he's, like, all gold, too. He's, like, just completely gold, and just, like, gives, like, this little smile. It's ridiculous. So, you know, it worked out for him. Everybody died, but you know, he just flexes and gets this little smile.
He's just like, I did it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even. Jesus Christ. Why?
Oh my God. So if I was to give this game like a ranking, a rating, I'd give it biting into an oatmeal raisin cookie when you thought it was a chocolate chip cookie.
Okay.
That's generous.
That's the rating.
That's a generous rating for this game.
If you were to give it
a rating. I don't think you understand how incredibly severely disappointing it is to bite into an oatmeal raisin cookie if you're expecting
chocolate
chip.
Sure. Well, I would rate it as you're biting into like what you think is a chocolate chip cookie, and it's actually just a piece of shit.
Oh,
like,
no.
Like a fucking urinal cake.
Sure. Yeah, it's a bad game. So
yeah, it's not great.
We try not to use like qualitative actual numbers on the show.
I think it's safe to give it a 1. I'll do a quantitative number. I'll give it a 1 out of 10.
I think if I were to give it a rating from my time with it, and I feel bad that Nick defeated it and I still have this like unclaimed Metal Gear game in my library that I've not finished because I damn near beat all of them. But it just, Nick, I'm sorry that you had to go through this, and I think I would have to rate it. Like, if there's a Nick Freda before Loss of Innocence, and then like a jaded Nick Freda, I'm gonna have to give it just like a, I don't know, just like a wee little Nicholas out of Hate Freda. that's like, what I gotta give it.
Okay.
I think I've turned into Cameron. I think I've become Cameron. I know, like, I see the world differently now.
Grindcore is going to be super fun now.
Now it's just called Camcore.
And we just hate everything we play.
The hate cast. But yeah, I just, to put a pin in it and wrap it all up, like, this, somebody ordered an episode of Metal Gear and Metal Gear Mondays and got an Oops All Camerons, so.
Oops All Cameron.
It's yucky.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you guys have any sort of final recommendations? If you're a curious listener, do you guys have anything to tell them? Anything that you want people to take away from the pain and suffering that you had to go through?
If you got through this episode and your thought was, maybe I should play this game just to see, don't.
Yeah, and looks are deceiving, because if you watch it on YouTube, you're like, this doesn't look so bad.
Yeah.
I would say, you guys should play this game. I highly recommend it. It's a really good game.
He was gaslighting us the whole time.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Really good stuff.
So. But yeah. So that's been our show. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Next episode of the show, Nick, you're more than welcome to come back. So I don't know if you need to publicly reveal your answer to that invitation. I don't want to put you on the spot. Okay.
Let's
cool.
Nick's especially back. For good games. Like it'll be a lot more fun, I think, to discuss a good game.
True. So the next episode of the show that is going to run a week from this getting posted is going to be Metal Gear Saga, sort of wrap up thoughts on the original series, the original three, I guess the original two, with this fucking tumor growing off the side of it. And then
this is like Quato.
Yeah, exactly. And we're also going to take your listener responses. So we're looking for listener responses on Metal Gear 1, Metal Gear 2, and Snake's Revenge. And so a week from today, what the hell's the date today? A week from today, come on, phone. Do you guys know what the date is off?
A week from today will be the ninth. From today we're recording. Yeah. The 9th of, yeah. Yeah. So we need your responses by the afternoon of the 9th.
Yeah, so at the very latest, we need your responses, absolute very latest, by like 6 or 7 p.m., 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. So 6 p.m., February the 9th, Central Standard Time. Please have all of your reflections, thoughts, experiences, comments, and any sort of corrections or anything like that into us, and we'll read it on that episode. I'm very excited. I'm also very nervous. So ever since the show shifted feeds, I'm nervous because I don't know how many listeners we lost in that transition, because it's weird. Every time we wrap a recording of this, I'll be driving home from the studio, and I think to myself, man, there's probably a whole subset of people that really enjoyed Metal Gear Mondays that just, like, don't think to check iTunes or Stitcher or Pocket Casts for Metal Gear Mondays. And they're just like, I guess they're just not doing the show anymore. So if that's the case, like, if everybody who's listening to this episode right now wouldn't mind taking a second to just leave an iTunes review or post about us on Facebook or share us on Twitter, I just want to make sure that A, we didn't lose anybody, and B, that, like, we get a decent amount of responses on our first ever listener response episode since we've come back. So, but yeah, so that being said, we're going to be doing that next episode. The episode after that, we're going to be covering generalities on MGS4. So we'll be...
It's fucking happening.
It's going to be great.
Gents and ladies.
It's going to be wonderful.
I'm so fucking amped because I haven't played Metal Gear Solid 4 in years.
It's so good. Like, oh my God. Like, from a gameplay and mechanic standpoint, I honestly think that Metal Gear Solid 4 is, like, the peak of the series.
Agreed.
Mechanically.
We'll get into it.
We'll get into it. It's great. So we're excited to play Metal Gear Solid 4. We're going to have guests galore. So we'll be doing our generalities episode a week after the Metal Gear Saga wrap-up. And on that episode is just going to be me, Isaac, and Sam. Kind of traditional, sort of keep it just the skeleton crew for the generalities episodes.
Skeleton crew.
Yeah, and then we'll do the beginning of the game and, like, the first half of the first act with Cameron. And then we will be moving forward with guests throughout. So Nick will be returning to join us on that. We'll have some listeners. Good old Mr. Knight, who Craven Knight, who we featured on the first episode back as a listener response, will be joining us as a guest.
Really?
Yep. We've got Patrick.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, we've got Patrick Smith, or Patty, from the Twin Humanities, who's been on Bonfireside Chat, and I believe maybe even Watch Out for Fireballs. He's going to be joining us, which is lovely, through Jeremy Greer. So Jeremy Greer's suggestion about how cool the show was on Twitter to all of his friends got us Pat. So I'm very excited about that. So we'll have our very first, like, British guest on the show, which is going to be awesome. Still trying to get old Cole Ross back. Jeremy Greer's only played Metal Gear Solid 5, apparently, so we may have him on for 5. But we're still collecting guests, but we've got some good familiar faces coming back, and we've even got Ben Garibaldi Smith joining us for
really
MGS4. Yeah, so it's gonna be fucking reunion, you guys.
Oh my God, this is fucking great.
It's gonna be wonderful.
This is just stuff I didn't even know before coming in here, and I feel real happy.
Yeah, I forget that not everybody CC'd on my emails and stuff, so all these things are happening, so it's gonna be wonderful.
Oh fuck, man, that's awesome.
So yeah, we're super excited, so please stick around. As always, just, like, share and review the show if you can. We're on SoundCloud as well, so shooting us a like or following us on there is great. But nothing's better than sort of a word of mouth plug on Facebook or Twitter, or just telling a friend. You can follow me on Twitter at AC Summerfield. You can also email me. It's Alessio, A-L-E-S-S-I-O, at foreverandastronaut.com, foreverandastronaut.com. Shameless plug, buy Dev Diary on Steam, assholes. Sam.
Whoa.
That was friendly. Sorry, guys. I was just being a jokester.
I don't have money.
No, I know. It's fine. But yeah, check it out there, or you can rent it. At the very least, you can watch the first episode for free on YouTube. So if you go to YouTube.com/devdiary, I believe it's literally just slash dev diary, which is bananas. Can't believe we got that. But yes, check that out. Sam, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at SamWrightDPS. There's not a whole lot there at the moment, but you can go to SoundCloud.com/RadioWrite. Radio, W-R-I-G-H-T.
Is there?
Stuff's happening.
I like that a lot. That's an awesome name.
Thank you.
Nick, people can listen to you on another show, and it's a good show.
That's
Tell
right.
Tell us about that show.
That is called Grindcore, the RPG podcast, which I co-host with Cameron Hill. It's about all kinds of different RPGs, you know, the old video game style. So you can check us out there. You can go to facebook.com/grindcorerpg. You can also find just by searching it on iTunes. We are also on SoundCloud. We've covered games like Final Fantasy and Chrono Trigger. We're about to do Deus Ex. Yes. We just wrapped up Super Mario RPG. We're just going to try to cover pretty much, you know, the gambit of the RPG series, you know, a bunch of different styles of it as well. So, yeah, give us a listen.
I suggested this to Cameron. I'm going to suggest it to you. Fucking Final Fantasy 15, do it.
He doesn't have a PS4. So just go ahead and buy him a PS4.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And I bet he'll convince him to do it.
You know what'll get a PS4 out of that boy? Persona 5.
It's coming.
Woo!
It's coming.
Guys, I'm so hype right now for Persona 5.
Just let Cameron play your PS4 at the office, Alessio, so he can play Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah,
I told him to Solid Snake sneak into your home. And take your PS4.
If Cameron wants to take a week vacation and just like camp out at my house for a week and just mash through it, I'm down.
Nice.
So,
well, nice. Yeah. So definitely, you know. Nick, let us know if you ever need guests for that. I've played several good RPGs at some point in my life, I'm sure. So I would love to also be on there, but I will not impose myself. But yeah, we have Facebook, so facebook.com/Metal Gear Mondays. I think that's about it. A lot of good fans on there. A lot of people talking. A lot of activity. It's great. It's weird. It's like out of all the Facebook pages that I manage, I know that I could literally just post a question as Metal Gear Mondays. And like today, I was like, hey, just looking to see what platform people are listening to the show on. Like right out the gate, got like 6 responses like within a minute or two. It was crazy. So, I can't say enough for everybody who's been listening to the show, and you guys are definitely making it worthwhile. Me getting a Liquid Metal Mike email in the middle of the day today saying, "Aw, shit, my boys are back," like, just really got me excited. So, thank you guys. I appreciate it. And that's been the episode. Nick, would you like the honor of saying the thing that we have traditionally said at the end of these things?
that we've traditionally had trouble saying at the end of these.
It's just a box.
Oh, shit.
He did it, man. That was great. He did it just like Snake's Revenge style text crawl.
We gotta
it's just a box?
What's with that box? There's an odd box here.
A box.
Just a box.